Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed, and Thursday means it is Author of the Week time with ABC Books on North Glenstone sponsoring our Author of the Week segment, and very excited, a name I'm sure that most of you recognize. I oftentimes cite justthenews.com, John Solomon, the award-winning investigative journalist, author, and digital media entrepreneur who currently serves as the chief executive officer and editor-in-chief of Just the News, has a book out, and this may come out of left field for some people. It's a kid's book, a children's book. Thank you so much for being with us. And people, I think, fairly would assume it would be about current events or something to do with the Constitution, the presidency, a children's book. How did that come to be?
Yeah, listen, it just wasn't something I ever thought they would put on my resume someday, but I'm really glad that it happened. And it has its roots in two experiences. One is a very funny personal family experience. So I'll start with that because people get a chuckle out of it. So a couple years ago, I have an autistic child, and we got him a hamster. And everyone loved them, great. But my wife and son went away for a family trip, and I was given one mission: feed the hamster, don't lose the hamster. And one night, I opened up the cage to feed him. I must have lost attention for a second. The hamster got out, and I lost him. And I was desperate not to face the wrath of my wife on this, so I went to CVS and I got a stethoscope, and I went along the floorboards of the house until I found the hamster in an air conditioning vent. I scooped him up, put him back in the cage, and I thought I had dodged a bullet. But the next day, I went on television with my co-host, who thought the story of me crawling on my knees with a stethoscope looking for a hamster was funny. She told the whole world, and well, my wife found out, and so I didn't dodge the bullet that I thought. So one of my penance was that I was going to make Chunk, my son's hamster, famous. And so he's one of the key characters in this book. He is a newspaper editor in a fictional hamster village, and he publishes a newspaper that can't get out because a mean koala bear named Karl, yes, he is modeled after Karl Marx, he clogs up the tubes in the hamster cage, and the newspaper can't get out. The tubes, obviously an allegory for today's big tech social media companies. And a fun dog named Seymour Clues, who's a detective, solves the mystery, gets the tubes unclogged just in time for the newspaper to get out and warn the hamster village that there's a flood coming that could harm everyone. And so the story is about censorship, and that's the topic I wanted. When Brave Books approach me, they're great. They're the new Scholastic of the world. They're pro-American, pro-God books for families that are tired of some of the woke stuff that shows up in the libraries and the school system now. They're giving alternatives. Well, they approached me and said, what do you want to talk about? I said, I know what it is. I want to talk about free speech and censorship. And that's rooted in the second experience, which is when I began doing the Hunter Biden stories in 19, and then 2020, the laptop stuff got canceled with Miranda and I. And I saw all these other ways of censorship. I broke the early stories on the China lab leak being a plausible theory for the origins of COVID. And we were censored off of LinkedIn, Twitter, and all these places. I started to wonder, I was bewildered that there wasn't more outrage. And then I started to realize there were two generations of young adults, or now young adults, that went through a school system and they weren't taught the same civic lessons I were. They weren't taught about the Bill of Rights. They weren't taught that free speech is essential to a constitutional republic, or that the First Amendment was first for a reason in the Bill of Rights. So I decided, listen, if that's the case, if there's a blockade on what used to be taught to all of us, I would try to do something somewhere in my career to help parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles teach their children those lessons, even if the schools and the libraries weren't. So hence we came up with a free speech book, but with some really lovable animal characters and some beautiful imagery done by the great artist at Brave Books. So that's how John Solomon accidentally became a child book author.
Yeah, I should note that the book title is Hidden Headlines, A Seymour Clues Mystery. I think a lot of our listeners, in fact, I'm sure of it, are most familiar with you because of Just the News. And many of them may be surprised to know that you were with the AP for two decades and the youngest news editor in the company's history. You worked for the Washington Post, outlets that many of our listeners would see as being to the left and into the world of censorship. What was that? Did they change? Did you change? And how did that, from there to where you are today, just formulate your view about these particular issues like free speech?
Yeah, when I worked at those places, reporters didn't bring their political opinions into the newsroom. They followed the facts and they tried to practice neutrality. Today, there are two or three generations of journalists that have entered the newsroom. They came out of those indoctrinating colleges, and they've seized control of a large part of the operational control of newsrooms, taking power away from much more experienced editors who probably have the values that were instilled in me. I'm in my 50s. I learned my journalism in the 80s. And the people in the 80s actually really took neutrality seriously. They actually wanted to be right before they were first. Today, people are willing to be first and hope it's right. And they never came with a preconceived narrative to a story. Today, what reporters do is they devise the narrative and they then try to find the facts to prove it. And what happened is, and I first saw this change in the summer of 2007. I was in my dream job. I was the lead national investigative reporter of the Washington Post. I was on the front page of the Washington Post nearly daily. That was pretty cool after being a wire service reporter and being anonymous for the first 20 years of my career. The Scooter Libby trial was going on. This was the trial of Dick Cheney's chief of staff accused of leaking the identity of a CIA operative. And when Scooter Libby was declared guilty by the jury, half of the Washington Post newsroom stood up and cheered. They applauded. They expressed an opinion and what I thought was the most sacred ground of neutrality I was supposed to know, and that was the newsroom. And I realized that something happened today that we're never going to come back from. That something is changing in the world today. And over the next decade and a half, that evolution from neutral newsroom to agenda-driven, biased newsroom began taking on speed. Younger reporters came in, and then a second thing happened. Twitter and Facebook emerged, and reporters could have a voice around their editors, meaning they might still try to be forced to be neutral in their stories, but they were expressing opinions and ending their neutrality in social media. And the situation just accelerated very quickly until we ended up with the media that today sustained the fake Russia collusion story in 2016, denied the Hunter Biden, very true Hunter Biden stories of 2019 and 2020. I started those stories while at a mainstream media organization called The Hill. And at some point, it became so apparent that I couldn't accomplish the same type of journalism that I accomplished and won many awards in with the AP and with the Washington Post. I could no longer do that. And so I made a decision in early 2020 to start my own news organization, Just the News. I don't think I've changed. I still eat the exact same breakfast every morning. I still wear the same clothes I wore when I was a 21-year-old, albeit a few size larger. And I still practice journalism the way my mentors taught me. I think the rest of the profession has just moved to a different thing. I didn't want to change. And so God blessed me enough that I could start my own organization, and I did. And that's how Just the News was born.
Talk with John Solomon, our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. People who, like you and so many others, that over the years have been tapped to give evaluations and predictions. You know, what do you think is going to happen here and happen there? And it seems as if it's become more difficult to predict the nature of things, given that, I would argue, one political party in particular doesn't seem to abide by any rules necessarily. And I remember, I think I best heard it summed up some time ago. Greg Gutfeld had said, it's sort of like we're just along for the ride. And I wonder what that's like for you, the difficulty in evaluating and predicting, because I know you're asked all the time, well, what are they? Are they going to indict Trump? Are they going to indict Hunter Biden? Are they going to do this? But you can't necessarily look at, well, here's what we know. Here's what we know they have. And based off of that information, legally, yes, they will do something, because those rules don't seem to apply.
That's right. Well, listen, I think the come along for the ride is exactly right. So when I launched my book tour for Hidden Headlines, I went to the land of liberty, Philadelphia, where our extraordinary country was born with the Declaration of Independence, the Constitutional Congress, the drafting of the Constitution itself. And to a person, parents and children came up to me telling me how important it was to fight for free speech, to reestablish the values upon which this country had been founded on and which have been hijacked pretty consistently over the last 15 years. And one young woman, I think her name was Jilly, she had two children, and she came up to me and said, Ronald Reagan used to say there's a silent majority in the country. And I do believe that's true, but we can't afford to be silent anymore. Silence is complicity. And I think that goes right along with what you just said. Conservatives or people who just love liberty that aren't even partisan, but they don't want to see the America of the last 246 years destroyed in the next 10 years. Silence is not an option anymore. Speaking up, acting in a lawful but compelling way is, I think, the mission that so many people are being called to now. And it may very well affect the future of our country, starting with the 2024 election. There is a moment in 2024 to say, stop. I want to stop the world. I want to get off. I want to get back to the old America. The question is, are there enough Americans? Are there a majority of Americans willing to take the lawful but assertive actions needed to reverse some of the things that put this country's great future in significant peril?
And finally, back to the book as we talk with John Solomon on Hidden Headlines, a Seymour Clues mystery. What is it you hope as parents go out, maybe pick this book up, that they get or their children get from the book?
Listen, I hope they can tell their children that the First Amendment was first for a reason, that free speech matters. At the end of the book, there are some lessons that Brave Books helped me put together so that this can be an ongoing learning experience. If the kids like the characters and the storyline, which is very fun, and the visuals are clearly beautiful, maybe they could extend the conversation, which is someday someone will tell you, you should be intolerant. You shouldn't accept someone's opinions. That's wrong. Free speech is free for a reason in America, and embrace it. Don't run from it. I hope that's the message that a new generation of parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents can give to the next generation of Americans, because the last two generations of Americans, not only were they not told taught the lessons of civics about First Amendment, Bill of Rights, they were also, some young adults have told me this, they were in classes from grammar school all the way up to college, where some of their instructors said, in some circumstances, government requested censorship could be good for the larger collective. Now, I have no idea what a larger collective is. It sounds like something from Star Trek. But the notion that there are Americans now as young adults who were told that censorship could be a good thing, that would make all of our founding fathers roll over in their graves. We've got to reverse that acceptance that somehow censorship is a meaningful part of the American experience. It is not. You can't be a constitutional republic if you can't speak your mind.
John Solomon of Just the News, teaching the importance of seeking and exposing the truth to America's future investigators. The book, Hidden Headlines, a Seymour Clues mystery, on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.